Over the last 30 years, China has undergone the hugest modernization in history, going from essentially a third-world country with a billion people to having the second-largest economy in the world. The statistics about China's growth are so staggering that it's easy to ignore how such a transformation has changed the lives of hundreds of millions of people. That change is the subject of a prize-winning new documentary, Last Train Home, which has begun rolling out in theaters across the U.S. Our critic-at-large John Powers says that it's a superb portrait of individuals trying to figure out their place in a nation that's changing at lightning speed.
Back in the 1980s, the culture critic Marshall Berman wrote a brilliant book called All That Is Solid Melts Into Air. He argued that the great drama of modernity is the way that people go from being passive objects of modernization, mere tools of history, to subjects who struggle to define their own relationship to a world in which everything is changing. Never has such change happened on a greater scale than in modern China. The different ways individuals deal with this is the subject of Last Train Home, a gorgeous new documentary by Li Xinfan, a Chinese filmmaker based in Montreal. Shot over 3 years, Last Train Home deals with an amazing social fact. Every single Chinese New Year, 130 million migrant workers leave the cities and return home to their rural villages. The movie puts a human face on this migration by showing its effects on a single family. Su Qin and her husband, Chung Hua, originally come from a remote village in Sichuan province. But for the last 17 years, they've been living in the megacity of Guangzhou, where they sleep in barracks, slave away in a garment factory, and give their savings to their family back home. When we first meet them, they're about to make the 2-day trip home to their village to see their two children, their sullen 17-year-old daughter, Qin, and her younger brother, Yang, who, by law, aren't allowed to live with them in the city. Su Qin and Chung Hua are stoked, and we anticipate a happy reunion. But when they arrive, dispensing toys and cell phones, we discover that things are not as we expected. Su Qin and Chung Hua see themselves as doing what it takes to brighten their kids' future, and they're upset that Yang's class rank has dropped from number 3 to number 5. In contrast, their children view them as bossy absentees who care more about making money than looking after them, and things only go downhill from there. Not that Last Train Home is grim or doleful. Fan shot the movie himself, and his images are absolutely ravishing. And he's put the story together with the help of Mary Steven, an editor best known for her work with Eric Rohmer, who has a novelistic eye for detail. Together, they've achieved that rarest of beasts, a documentary that's lively as well as deep, that's heartbreaking, yet doesn't wallow in depression. Structured around 3 annual journeys home, the movie tells a story at once epic and intimate. The epic side comes out in the second year, when Su Qin and Chung Hua spend days caught in a train station queue so vast and devouring that you almost long for the calm of a soccer mob. These crowds remind us that the family we're watching is only one of tens of millions like it. You see, modernity is roaring along like a runaway train in China. In fact, things are happening so fast that, from one generation to next, people have wildly different ways of being modern. Eager to escape the millennial drudgery of subsistence farming, Su Qin and Chung Hua embraced the new economic freedoms. They moved to the city to give themselves and their family a better life. And they feel that they have. But because they were raised in the austere values of a Maoist peasantry, they do all this in the spirit of stoic self-sacrifice. It's impossible not to be touched by both their self-denial and by their sadness that their children don't seem to be honoring their part of the bargain. But their kids were born into a later hyper-capitalist China, and we don't really blame them for having their own ideas of how to be modern. They don't want to be A students like their parents expect, don't want to spend their lives sacrificing themselves in the name of the future. Qin, in particular, can't wait to abandon school, get out of the boondocks, and move to the city where, surrounded by high-rises and neon and the intoxicating whir of the now, a girl can have some fun. Although we fear that Qin will be a lamb to the slaughter, Last Train Home is no morality tale. Fan realizes that he's chronicling a transformation so vast that there are no easy conclusions about how people should live. He knows that once the genie of modernity has been let out of the bottle, individuals are left to ride the whirlwind of history. They have to make it all up as they go along.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue and Vogue.com. He reviewed Last Train Home. You can see clips from it on our website, freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Joan Tuohy-Westman, Sam Brigger, John Myers, John Sheehan, and Lauren Krenzel. I'm Terry Gross.